welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 215, our PS1 top 10, with me, RGT, and this week joined by the sexy, the perfect skin, the absolute, oh, beautiful bombshell from New York. It is Bobby Boy. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
How you keeping? All right?
Yeah, man. I'm good. How about you?
Yeah, very well. How's New York this week?
It's good. We had some torrential downpour rain, but now it's really sunny.
Yeah, so. That's, weather's picked up here a bit, actually. Mm-hmm. It's quite nice. So
it's going to be 75 degrees today.
Ooh, yeah, we're not
whatever that is to you.
We're not quite that warm, but, yeah,
but it's weird because it was just 40 yesterday. So, you know, that's 30 degree difference. It's weird. New York is so weird.
Yeah, just, yeah, especially just 24 hours later. That's mad. Yeah,
it'll drop and it's crazy.
Oh, that is mad. Yeah, so this week, it's just me and Bobby. We're going to be doing our top 10 PS1 games. We've also chucked a question out to our unglorious section of the Discord. Basically ask them what their favourite PS1 game is and just give us a little bit of bump afterwards, telling us why it's their favourite game or memories or nostalgia, you know, usual bits and pieces, which we've had great feedback on that, so that'll be good. But I want to start off before we go any further with a couple of shout-outs on the show this week. We have I've got to do the official thing, even if George isn't here. New subscriber.
Listener.
Which is, Fat Zangief. He has joined as a new subscriber, so thank you very much for that, Simon. That means the world to us, and that's another few pence going in to help us, you know, bring the show every week. Upgrade the show, make the show better with all the exciting things we've got coming up this year. So thank you very much for that. And I've also been asked to do a shout out for a special little girl this week, which is Taylor, who is 11 years old today as of recording. So I hope you have a wonderful day, Taylor. And
happy birthday.
I know you don't know me as RGT, but you know me by my voice. So you have a great day, my darling. I hope you get loads of presents and have a great day with your dad. All right. So happy birthday. Now we better move on to what you've been playing, Bobby.
I got the platinum for Helldivers 2. I as of right now, this has to be my game of the year. Wow. I just been playing it every day. Playing it with the gaming gram, which mm-hmm. is good. King Lizard, my stepfather, my brother Scott, stepfather Danny. We're at Hell Die difficulty, doing like the hardest difficulty you could do.
Wow.
And just, yeah, we're rocking it with the, either it's the, with the termids or the automatons, doesn't really matter. I think automatons are a bit harder because they shoot at you, but mm-hmm. there's different, weapons and shadow gems for different events and gameplay you're doing. So there's never like, it's never, even though it's the same enemies, it's never the same game. Mm-hmm. Because 1 minute you're just clearing house and you're going to the next objective, and the next minute you are swamped, dying, can't get out of the situation, mission failed. So I'm just having an amazing time with it. Amazing. I think I love it.
How many hours have you put in this so far, then, Bobby? Or how many hours did it take you to platinum? Was it a bit of a grind, well, or did you not
find the trophy list looks like a bit grindy. But the only thing that's really grindy is just to play 100 missions, complete 100 missions, which you'll do over time. So nothing is really like, oh, it's hard to do, I can't do this. Because unless it says specifically in the trophy description, has to be done this difficulty. Once you get leveled up enough that you can get special, like the shadow gems, then mm-hmm. it's easily doable. It's mm-hmm. obviously easy if you had a friend you could talk to on the mic. Sometimes you get lucky and you get a bunch of players that just want to go in and go out. The hardest trophy was probably on an extreme difficulty. Finish a mission, a blitz mission in like 6 minutes. And you would think, oh my God, how is that even possible? But sometimes you get lucky. And if you have a squad and you do the main objective and just go out and extract, you're done. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's not like, nothing's really like, oh, this is impossible to do. I think a lot of people have got the trophy. I don't think it's like the hardest trophy to do. I thought For Honor was harder than this, to be honest.
Really?
And here you're only playing with the AI. Yeah. So like there's no stress level. Like you're not worried about people messaging you being stupid or whatever. Everyone does their thing. You know, sometimes you get some people who are really good. Sometimes you get people who are really bad. And then if they're not doing what you want to do, you could just leave the game.
Mm.
You don't have to continue the game. There's a bunch of other people playing, you know? So, yeah, I think I played like 150 hours overall.
Mm. How long? You haven't had it that long. So you've obviously
I've been moaning every day doing something, a couple hours here and there, whoever's on at certain times. Yeah, so it's not bad. I mean, I really love it. There's every 2 weeks they said they're going to put new content in.
That's
so like, yeah, so I'm not going to just delete it. I'm going to keep it going. As long as people are my friends are playing, I'll still play with them.
Mm, that's going to be my next question. Even though you've got the platinum, will you carry on playing? Is it a novelty game that's good at first, but you get a bit bored, or do you think there's longevity in this game?
No, there's definitely longevity because the east and west coast of the map from Super Earth, the east is the bugs, and the west is the robots. The north and south are empty. So I'm according to lore, I never played the original Helldivers, but there's also other enemies in there. There's like cyborgs and some kind of other alien threat. So I'm sure they're going to put them in the game eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think over time would have been maybe too much to do. I don't think the Arrowhead even expected all the people to play this game and how popular it really got.
Mm.
So over time, I know they're going to add more and more stuff. Every 2 weeks, they're going to add stuff to the war bond. So you're getting new weapons, new armor, new tactics. So right now, like, I'm not bored of it, even though, like I said, it's the same enemies. Mm. It's just how they spawn, how they come out, how other people's adapt and how they play. You get used to it. So that's what's unique, you know? Plus, on the mic with your friends is always great. But even if you don't have a mic with your friends, you don't have to actually speak to them to communicate. You can point and click what you're going to do. And if you really don't know and you're just nervous not to die in someone else's game, like my golden rule, just follow the leader.
Mm.
If he wants to go left, go with him.
And if
you get samples with them, great. Protect the samples. I have a word. I think I started something with the Gaming Gram and my boy Marlon. When we're playing on the higher difficulties, there's this pink sample. It's like an ultra sample, whatever it's called, ultra. There's regular samples, then there's like rares, and then there's like ultra rares, which are pink. In order to upgrade the stratagem or your ship module to the highest upgrade, you need the pinks. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have the pinks and you die, and I'm not near you, and I reinforce you in, we have to go back to your dead body to get the samples.
Oh.
So we made a rule of thumb. If you get the pink samples, we don't care how you find them. We're happy for you. You need to run to the extraction and just drop the samples at the extraction.
Good idea.
So this way, if you die, we don't have to worry about finding your body and everything and among the chaos that can happen.
Mm.
So when we're going to finish the mission, you have to go to extraction anyway. The samples are there.
That's a good idea.
So
that's
it's good. Like...
That's good as well that you're thinking a strategy plan outside of the game for when you're in the game as well. So there's obviously... And I think it's good as well. I mean, we all know Sony, they didn't expect this to be the hit it was going to be. But that's good that the devs are supporting this now and doing, bi-weekly updates and give you more reason to stay in the game. So, it's not even an expensive game, is it?
No, it's like 40 bucks. Well, the best 40 bucks I spent, in a long time for a game that I'm actually, like, really, really enjoying.
Mm.
And even, like, you may have your shadow gems, your favorite weapons, your favorite armor, and then you watch somebody else play, and you're like, why are you bringing that? How's that going to be helpful to us? And then you're like, oh my God, how can I incorporate that into my gameplay? Because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just like there's so many possibilities. Like there is no wrong way to play. It's just really how you play and how you adapt to the enemy. Some people like to go snipe from distance and take out things, or they're like a lone wolf. They go up by themselves, take out factories or bug holes. Some people just want to go run and gun and throw commando. You know, it just depends on how you want to play. So it's amazing. Definitely amazing. I said I was going to do Horizon Forbidden West or Rise of the Ronin, but I figured I'd knock off. I got it for my birthday like 2 years ago, I think. Destroy All Humans 2. So I'm halfway through that. I love that game. It's so stupid. So it's just like a good time. I'm halfway done. So then I'll probably move on to one of the other two.
Yeah.
If I don't have any, I have a bunch of public combo games still, but I want to knock them out because, running out of time, really.
Oh, no, I was looking at my backlog yesterday and I was just thinking, I pulled them all off the shelf and thought I'll stack them up just to see where I'm going to head next. And I thought, that stack's ridiculous. I don't even know where to start with.
Usually I don't really have a long backlog because I try to get a game and I don't really jump games. I try to get the game, finish it, go to the next game. Because if I started jumping games, I have nothing finished. Yeah. So I figure at least let me just finish the game, you know?
Good idea. Good tactic.
But it just, I don't know. I guess Diablo 4 took, on the PlayStation, if you go to your profile, right, on the bottom, it has your top three most played games. Diablo's up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's up there. Like, I must have spent 600 hours playing that game. Yeah, I remember
seeing you as 600 hours.
So I was like, oh my God. So that took so much of my time. Then right after that, we did Lords of the Fallen with my stepfather. That was about another 200 hours just on that game. So, like, the backlog started stacking up. And I'm like, all right, it's not a big deal. I'll manage it. But then some of the games I have are over 60 hours at least. And it's like, oh, my God, am I going to finish these games or what? And then the games you digitally download on sale, it's like, oh, my God, I forgot about those.
Yeah, I've done the same.
So it's like, oof, it's getting there. It's getting a little wild. So.
And I kept thinking as well, I thought, well, I've done Horizon Zero Dawn, really enjoyed that. And George said, oh, you're going to jump straight into Forbidden West. I was like, no, I want a bit of a palate cleanser. Then some of my palate cleansers are 60 odd hours. And I'm like, well, hang on, if I do that now, then I'm not going to get to. I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I got a bit stuck in a conundrum really at the moment. But is there anything else you've been playing, Bobby? Or
stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
No, that's it. Just Helldivers 2 and now Destroy All Humans 2. Let's see what happens. And what about you?
I've had such a mental week at work and busy afternoons. So you keep thinking I'm going to jump in and do bits, but just don't have time. But what I have been playing, EAFC 24, played a bit more, but I've been playing Switch.
Because
if I get home and I've got an hour and a half or I'm doing a job or I'm popping out or nipping, you know, I quickly just grab it off because I'm automatically in the game. Play a couple of matches down and out. So I've been playing the Switch version just for the ease of
it. Same account or a different account?
No, you can't cross save on. So I started a separate career on there. But I did send a little video clip to Bald Border, who, as everyone knows, is my best mate. And I sent him a clip. My second league game, League Two. I hit a shot from 35 yards, top corner off the bar and in. And I was like,
get out of here.
This is how you start a season. So I've been enjoying
that. That's great.
Building, getting my youth coaches in, been enjoying that. I played a little bit. I saw on my friends on PlayStation, Ginge, subscriber to the show, good lad for the Discord. He's been playing, or he platinumed a game called Mystic Pillars, which I think was.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so I thought I'll have a go at that. So that was actually just last night as of recording. I downloaded and played out, which is like a puzzle game with these pillars, and you have a certain amount of gems, and you can only get rid of the gems in the amount of spaces you move, if that makes sense. It makes more sense when you play. Then that'll give you a little map in the corner of where the numbers should be on a bit, and you have to work it out like a little mass puzzle game, which is quite good. And I played an hour and a half of that last night, and that's good fun, just as something a little different.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, but that's quite good. I'll definitely play a bit more of that. And then finally, I've been playing some more BioShock as I got my strategy guide. So I found where I was in the strategy guide yesterday afternoon, straight from work into the shed, PS3 on. Dimmed the lights down, got the strategy guide out. I'm so bad. I've even got one of those you get those book holders that you use in kitchens to keep your recipes.
Oh, you have to.
I've got one must. On a little table in front of me, sit back. I had a couple of cans of cider yesterday playing Bioshock, so I put a couple more hours in that. Oh, I'm loving that.
That's perfect.
I'm loving that. You completely forget you're on a PS3. I love the aesthetic. And
Yeah. No, some PS3 games really, really hold up well.
I've noticed no issues with frame rate or nothing. It runs smooth as silk, so I'm really enjoying that. And especially as I've got a week off this week, so I think that's going to be my main aim, is to at least get Bioshock done. I don't know how long the story is. I wouldn't imagine it's a massive story.
I don't think so, no.
I'm going to try and get that done this week. But yeah, really enjoying that. But that's all basically I've been playing this week.
And speaking of good news, I was browsing the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Ipswich Town. Yep. They're in first place.
Yeah, another draw yesterday. I was hoping we'd get a win yesterday, but then the other two slipped up. So we're three games left.
Yeah. And then it's the top two going automatically. There goes playoff.
Yeah, top two go through. But I think where, obviously there's fans listening of all different clubs, but I think where we were in League One last year, we come straight up pretty much with the same team. We haven't made many signings and we've gone straight up to the top.
That's great.
And also Leeds, Southampton, Leicester all come down with
all up
payments from the Premier League. So we're competing with teams that had 60, 70 million parachute payments from the Premier League. So
it's impressive. Because, you know, of course, the biggest thing in America now is Wrexham because the TV show is so popular and everything else.
Ryan Reynolds,
so when I saw that they got promoted, I said, wait a minute, let me Google Ipswich Town. Let's see where we're at. There you go, bam. Because, you know, Manchester United fans, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Manchester United fan. We're not doing too hot.
No, and as you'll know, I know we're going a bit off-piste here, but we were talking here EAFC, so I think it fits in. But I think, as you know, it's about how your club is run. If you've got good people behind the scenes, the rest will follow. So you need to start from the top and work down. And I mean, we I won't mention names, but we were run by a guy. I used to go and watch matches. You know, we got relegated to League One. I'd go and watch on a Tuesday night in the rain in front of 8,000 fans to a dismal team and awful. And then we had these American guys come in from pension fund, just redone the whole club, tidied the club all up, new buildings, redone the stands. It's just a completely different place. Now you can't get a ticket. Sell out nearly 30,000.
Yeah.
Now trying to improve the size of the ground. So, and we haven't changed the team that much. We've got a good young manager in who actually come from Man United. And suddenly the whole thing has changed, you know. So it's just start from the top.
It's the love and the passion of the management. And the ownership that can help the team go. Because if you have a love and passion as a fan, you expect that as you go higher up the board.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it there, what do you expect is going to happen? Like, you know, am I going to not follow my team? It's your team. That's it.
You know, and it's I've only managed to go to one game this year, and that was a season ticket holder. I couldn't make it, so they let me have their ticket. Thank
that's
you so
wild,
much,
man.
But that's the only game I've been to, you know, and it's just the whole club's on a high. They're just riding a wave at the moment, and they're just, fingers crossed. Three games left.
I'm hoping for you, man.
But right, we'll get on to our main theme of the show, which is our PS1 top 10. So basically, me and Bobby have done what we think is our top 10 PS1 games of all time. And then we'll also, after we've gone through, we'll start from 10 and go up. We'll compare our games and chat about each game. Mm-hmm. And then when we've done that, we'll jump into the unglorious section of our Discord, see what their guys' favorite game was, why it's their favorite game, and we'll go from there. My list is pretty tame. All these games are really well known, but I've stuck with those. There's no surprise, there's no hidden gems, but I've stuck with them because each game has either pushed me on into that series, or it's just the memories of that game, or introduced me to something different. So although mine's quite generic, it's obviously, we'll go into it, but there's more of a reason why those games are in that
order. I think I'm with the same.
Yeah. And I think that just proves how, even though everyone will know these games and how big these games are, there's a reason they are well known and that big, because of where they started or what titles they made on the PlayStation. So we'll start with number 10. So what's in your 10th place then, Bobby?
Well, I did it alphabetically.
Okay.
Someone's going to go, ABC, I'm going to go down. So I just put Castlevania, Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a masterpiece. Obviously, everyone probably played this. Everyone loves it. Being a Castlevania fan from like the Nintendo era, mm-hmm. and then you have it on the Sega Genesis. I didn't play Super Castlevania 4 until way after the release because I didn't have a Super Nintendo. My boy Adam had a Super Nintendo and I had a Sega Genesis. So we go to each other's house, we had different games to play. Mm-hmm. But we played a bunch of games together, but never that game. Mm-hmm. So I played it after. So I was hooked on Castlevania. And then when it was released for the PlayStation, I was just like, oh my God. This mm-hmm. is like, I mean, it's this almost the same gameplay. Obviously, it's more fluid. It's still mm-hmm. tough as nails. You still got to go back and forth. I mean, it's made its own subcategory in gaming.
Exactly.
So yeah. I love this game, man. I love it. I even bought the Castlevania Collection for the PS, I don't know, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And it's in there. And I played it again. I just can't stop.
Is it love collection? It. I didn't think it was on that collection. Is it on that collection?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, they it's that. And I think Requiem for Something is on there. It's double pack. Something like that. Yeah. I got it a while ago. So, yeah, I mean, does it play? Yeah, I mean, I played it. I don't remember if it's different. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But you have the rewind feature or something like that. So it's not like if you get stuck, you can kind of help out. It's a bit more forgiving because you can make saves and everything. But classic.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
I mean, I've never actually played it. I've always wanted to play it. But every year, I always say, right, this year I'm going to get Symphony of the Night. For the PS1, I'm going to get Symphony of the Night. And then you'll go to a convention or you'll go to a game shop where you'll see it and you think, that's gone up another $100. Mm-hmm. You know, this game is expensive now.
Yeah, it is. I actually have a copy. It's like my original copy from when I was a kid. I have it, which is amazing. Brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, that's even better when that's the original copy as well, not just one you've replaced.
Yeah.
But yeah, I might have to get that PS4.
It's not bad. I don't think it's that much money on the
No, that's worth.
It's not. Yeah, it's two games. It's not bad.
Because my brother-in-law, I've spoke about him, RPG Chef Sam off of Discord, really big into, you know, he's played all the big RPGs, Final Fantasies, Castlevanias, you know, massive gamer in the day and still is. But he always said to me, oh, you've got to play Symphony of the Night. You've got to play Symphony of the Night. But now I know it's on that PS5, I'm definitely making a note of that. And I'm going to be on Amazon bad, after man. This. But
it's
yeah.
really good. Yeah.
And I think also with that game, everyone was 3D, weren't they? That was the 3D era. Everyone's going 3D. 3D, 3D, 3D. But Konami thought, well, hang on. No. Let's make an awesome 2D game.
Like, and it's probably one of the best 2D games. Like, just the way they designed it. It's like, it hits the nostalgia.
Yeah.
But it's like brand new things you never thought you could do in a 2D game.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn.
You know, and also, you know, having a system which is built for 3D, but also 32 bits. That means you can really max out a 2D game. And I mean, to be fair, they did because it looks stunning.
Yeah,
graphically,
it looks amazing.
It looks gorgeous. You know, imagine playing Castlevania on your Nintendo back in the day and then being able to see that. You'd have been blown away. So, yeah. Oh, that's a good pick.
Even the art style now, it still holds up compared to some of the older PS1 games that you're playing it. You're like, oh, bro, I can't play this anymore. You could still play this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of these, like Blasphemous and what was the other one? Blood, I played for a bit. I can't remember. I think it's from one of the original developers as well, his own company. He'd done a similar game on the PS4, PS5. What was that called? Blood.
Blood Moon or something like that?
Yes.
Something. I don't know. I know what you're talking about. I have it. Yeah. Sacrifice of something, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. But even then, I look at that, and although they're trying to replicate that, sprite work and that 2D world, it doesn't, even though it's on a modern system, it doesn't look as good. There's something about Symphony of the Night running on an original PlayStation on a CRT that just looks
Looks amazing.
Stunning. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant choice. Well, in my watch, I'd put as 10th place. Quite a boring pick, but there's a reason I've done it. It's ISS Pro Football, or as people would know now, Pro Evolution Soccer, but it was their first. And the reason I picked this, mainly for the game, nostalgia as well. I was always FIFA, right away from the early days, right from Super Nintendo, Mega Drive, always played FIFA's through. And then I think I'd been around someone's house at a party and I saw this football game playing in the corner. I thought, what's that? Went and had a look and they're like, oh, yes, it's this game from Konami called ISS Pro. And I was like, ISS Pro? Like, Konami don't make football games. Obviously, I think in Japan and America, was it Winning 11, I think it was called?
Yeah, it was Winning 11 and it became Pro Evolution something. Yeah. I love this franchise.
Yeah.
Well, not
and,
that, but...
And I was watching it thinking, actually, they can make a game. So anyway, I picked it up. Me and Bald Board had got on this and we put hundreds of hours. Even though it wasn't licensed, we would spend hours when we first got it customizing the league. So you
kit designing? Oh yeah. My God, I loved it.
And you'd start the Master League and then you'd change Man Red to Manchester United, Man Blue to Merseyside Red to the
Merseyside Red. Yeah,
change all the players' names. And oh, and we put hours in this. Do you know what we even done once, right? We maximized this game out. I still remember this. This is hilarious. It was a summer's day. We had all the windows open. We used to share a house. CRT, PlayStation set up. And he was like, right, I've had an idea. We'll get some beers, right? Typical early 20s. We'll get some beers. Now, let's max every player out, because 99 on everything. Max every player out. And then we'll play a full 90-minute match to see how many goals we can score. And I think we got to about 60th minute, and it was like 149-3 or something. And they were like, yeah, a bit bored now. Should just get down the pub. But it's just memories like that. And the hours. And then I followed in the whole evolution of them, but followed Pro Evo right up until I got a PS4. And for some unknown reason, they launched on PS3 and PS2, not PS4. So they had a year gap. So I bought a FIFA game and the rest is history. I then moved over back to FIFA. But yeah, just so many good memories of that game. And they, for some reason, for a company like Konami to make a football game, which still sounds strange today, they absolutely nailed it.
They really did.
The gameplay's superb, you know.
Yep.
And I say
it's smooth, it's crisp.
It's brilliant. You can play tactically, you change your formations. What we used to do, because in Master League, you used to have a set budget to start with. So we used to go straight out, buy Roberto Carlos and put him straight up front because he could just smash a ball in. And then as we started winning games, we'd earn more money, we'd build a tee up, we'd move him back through the ranks to left back. But we used to put him straight up front because 30 yards, smash it in the net.
That's the best, man.
Oh, great memories of that game. And yeah, it's a shame it's gone the way it's gone nowadays, really. Because
I know, it's a shame. It really is. But
yeah, so what's your next game then, Bobby?
Then I went down to Diablo. So my boy Adam had this on the PC, and I was like, I'd never seen a game. I mean, you had top-down games growing up, but I've never seen something like this. It was dark.
Is that the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was playing with on a PC, so I'm not really used to PCs. So I don't know. I think it came out maybe a year later. I'm not really sure, but when it released for PlayStation, and it had the big thing in the corner sticker. I still have the game. It's like two-player mode. I'm like, two-player mode? Oh, my God. So you play with your friend? Yeah, you can't go anywhere. You have to stay within a certain area because it's a PS1 game. But,
yeah,
I mean, you could pick up loot and kill people together. And it's like, oh, my God, it was just amazing. This got me into the franchise hardcore. So I played this with my boy Adam, obviously, who thought PC was better and can't compare PC to PlayStation. But for what they did for a console port, I thought it was great. And then me and my boy Alex played this. We never got a sequel because Diablo 2 never came to a console that I'm aware of. I know it's just a PC game.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
It was, I think 2 years ago when they re-released it as remastered for Xbox and PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
But never had a sequel, so I played that. It was tough as nails. Three was on obviously all the systems, so it was 4. But something about Diablo 1, Like, it just seemed, obviously it's fantasy. I mean, you're fighting the devil, but you know, the armor and the weapons wasn't so like far-fetched, kind of fit like the mood.
So do you like, think also, was it the first time you played like an isometric game? I take it was still isometric back then.
Yeah, so not the first time I've played isometric game. They had a few I played before, but like this just like, it was dark, it was moody, the music was great, the creatures were great. And then, you know, you can make it as hard, as easy as you want. You could just change difficulty as you get higher. You could level up, find weapons. And that's not as in-depth as it is now. But I mean, for what it was back then, I thought it was amazing.
And I suppose also it's going to CD systems like we were then, we were then really starting to see games with a lot more depth and hours. So that was another big surprise. So, I mean, you're probably playing Diablo, where as if you'd have played a platformer on your Super Nintendo, you'd have played for probably 3-4 hours, completed it. Whereas in Diablo, you could, and that's, you know, there was that lure of that as well, where you can just keep playing and
going. Keep going and how high can you go? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a great choice. I think that's fairly collectible as well now, I think, isn't it?
Oh, it's expensive, man.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think because all the Diablos came out, people like want it for their collection, so they try to go get it back. It's expensive now, man.
Mm. Yeah, I remember looking a little while ago and thinking, wow, that's... I think it was around about when... What was the one you played 600 hours? Was that 4? Was that Diablo?
Yeah, 4, yeah.
Yeah, so I think when you get that new game out, it tends to spike people.
It does, yeah.
For the old ones. Yeah, great choice. I've put in at number 9, it's a game I didn't actually complete, but absolutely scared the wits out of me. And I'd probably say this scared me more than Rez, which is Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember playing this and just thinking, at the time, it was another masterstroke by him, because obviously what was your biggest weakness of the PS1 was your draw distance. So what do? You make a horror game, you put fog over it so you can't see the draw distance.
Yep.
And absolute masterstroke, because there's two games I always remember for setting atmospheres in games. Now you can have the upgrade graphics, you can have your 3D, you can do bits, but everything seems wonderful and brilliant at the time, but you have to get the atmosphere right. And there's two games I always look back on that do that, and that's Silent Hill and Super Metroid. Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
That game is way ahead of its time for atmosphere. You get all sort of the echo and the water drips and the music. It really lures you into an alien planet. And I think this is what Silent Hill done. It lured you into an empty town. You're going down that road and into the town and all the fog. And you just don't know what you're going to find behind the doors. And it just, I don't know what it is. Even to this day, I still find it creepy. Even with... You know, you look back now and, you know, if I show my daughter this game, she's going to go, God, what, they made that on a calculator? Yeah. You know, but it's still, and it's to do with that atmosphere, you know, and that's what I found with Silent Hill. I never finished it. I think Bald Border, I can't remember if he finished it or not, but he got a lot further in than me, and I used to watch him play. But yeah, I just thought, again, that was, and yeah, because that's Konami as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Konami, yeah.
Another Konami game. And they were
killing it back then.
Yeah, and it just seems that whatever genre or whatever game they made, they pushed it to the limits they knew. And I just think Silent Hill was that. That was sort of one of the earliest occasions of playing a horror movie.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite horror games on the PlayStation, for sure.
Mm, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, so that was...
And then, like, I was a teenager when it came out, so I didn't really get all... It's very deep. If you go into it, it's a very deep game and why he's going through this stuff and... You know, why his wife's missing and all other stuff. It gets pretty, not his wife, his daughter, Cheryl. It's pretty deep.
Mm, definitely.
So if you were an adult playing that game, you get a lot of the undertone that they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Or I didn't really get it. Now I get it. But like playing it for the first time. And I remember in the beginning of the game, no spoilers for a 30-year-old game, but or a 20-year-old game, whatever came out. I remember you had to run away from these like creatures into a fence and it's like a dead end. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And you're getting like attacked and then you die.
Oh.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? I thought, and then all of a sudden there's like another scene, had all the FMV videos. And I was like, wow, we survived. Where are we now?
Yeah.
I was shocked, bro. That air raid siren still freaks me out to this day.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's like, they were just trying things different. Do you know what I mean? They're just trying things different. Let's just see what we can do here. You never
had that stupid radio that you can have. It'll help you hear enemies. Mm. I'd rather not have the radio on at all because it makes it more creepy.
It does. Yeah,
oh, there's something here. Turn it off. Run away. Oh,
that was horrible. Or you'd hear them.
Classic.
They really done a great work with sound as well. You'd hear a noise and think,
yeah,
what is that? What is that? Yeah.
And yeah. Also, the cool part was like you were just a regular average Joe.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were a combat expert and, it was just like just a regular dude with a baseball bat and a gun that he sucks at aiming with. And that's what I'd be in real life, you know?
Mm.
Good luck getting a headshot in that game.
Yeah, exactly. So what you got next then, Bobby?
I got Medal of Honor. Because when I first played this game, it was like playing Saving Private Ryan. I was in shock. I mean, one of the best first person experience I've ever had in a shooter.
Hmm.
I just thought they got the story right, the way they made the music. You know, it was a real life event, you know, but to play it in a video game and they try to make it so realistic. I mean, it was incredible. The whole story was good. You went to different parts of the war. I don't know if you were the same guy. I don't remember if you were the same guy or not, but I think they changed it a little bit, different characters. But the overall story and how they presented the enemy base and what you had, it wasn't like walk here, find this fight. There was so much more to it than just a typical like a you know, Wolfenstein type of game. This was like there was a story and a heart behind it, which I'll never forget. Like that first experience landing on the beach in the video game was just crazy.
So was that first person as well, was it?
First person, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've never played a Medal of Honor game. I've got loads of them. I've never played them.
Oh, yeah. I played this one, and I think on PS2 it's called Rising Sun, and it had the split-screen multiplayer.
Oh,
so cool. I got really good at it because I would, like, see who's on what on the little screen in the corner and know where they were. But, like, yeah. But Medal of Honor was always be up there for me because I just never seen anything like this. I was not a big first-person shooter guy. But I had to get this game, so I'm happy I did because it's amazing.
So is that the D-Day landings where you start?
Yep.
Yeah, because I remember I think I saw a YouTube video a few months ago and they were doing most impactful starts to games, and that was one of them.
Yeah, this is huge. I was like, wow. I mean, it's like Saving Private Ryan all over again. Just watching that, like you watch the movie, you play this, you're like, oh my god, you know? It's amazing what they did.
Yeah, that's brilliant. My next one, which is number 8 on my list, is Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of, I didn't realize at the time there was actually, you know, Metal Gear before this. You know, I didn't realize, you know, I thought this was the first of a game. Same again, Konami. Unbelievably. Yeah. I didn't think of this when I made the list, but yeah, Konami. And similar to what you were saying, it was like a nastier spy thing, like a James Bond, but done, you know, grimy and a bit gritty and espionage and getting behind enemy lines. But the same again, it was that sort of top-down isometric view. It was the sound effects. I can still hear them now when an enemy sees you and the exclamation mark goes above the head. It was the seeing where the cameras were moving. You had to get. It was a whole different thought process to a game. We'd had different spy games, but never to this level. You know, you can't just go in blasting your gun. You have to work your way in. And then when your radio or your, I can't remember what they called it, used to go off and they'd go blip, blip, and then they'd talk to you as well. And obviously the franchise, you know, with Kojima, the franchise went on and they'd done some brilliant things with, you know, later games with your controller and different bits and pieces. But it's same again. They were really pushing the boundaries, and it was. I'd never played anything like this before. You know, you're into a new system of 3D, but I'd never played it. It was just a whole new world of, you know, like I say, espionage. That's the first ever stealth game I played.
Yeah. The boss battles were incredible.
Yeah, it was just. And a lot of these games, you know, we've gone through our list here, you know, there's hundreds of top PS1 games. But you look back and think, how did they do that then? Nowadays, we're almost saying the systems are underused. But back then, we were saying, how did they put all that on this disc? On this, yeah, incredible. Yeah, so that was what I'd say number 8 was Metal Gear Solid.
It's on my list also. So was Silent Hill. So we have two the same.
Oh,
but they even knew that young boys would be perverted. Looking at what's her name? I forgot her name. I think it was Cheryl too, right?
I think so. Yeah,
or Sybil, something like that. Maybe I'm not remembering Cheryl. But if you looked at her too long on her butt, she would get mad until you stopped looking at my butt.
Yeah,
she would say it right there. hilarious.
They added so much in, didn't they?
And then if you had any Konami games in your memory card, Psycho Mantis would read them out to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You played X amount of hours of Castlevania or something like that, whatever they programmed to say.
Yeah.
And then changing the cord from the PS1 to the PS, not that, from the controller 1 to controller 2 to beat him, well, it just blew my mind, bro. I was so shocked at how this game was done. It's just an amazing game.
There's a guy on YouTube, I can't remember his name. If I remember, I'll put it in the Discord, but he does like short videos. That's all Metal Gear Solid. And he always says, did you know in Metal Gear Solid? And he comes up all these things that no one knew that you could do.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
That is mad, the stuff they put in that game.
They put in there. I remember like the battle, like each boss was different too. It wasn't like you had the same kind of boss battle. They were all unique. Mm. So like when you would fight Sniper Wolf, you had to like go between where there was like boxes to get up to her. Yeah. She flashed a gun at you. She'd be in a different position. Now you had to reset yourself again. It was intense, man. Revolver Ocelot. I'd never forget these things. It's amazing, man.
But that was like that, you know, with the dramatic music and the boss battles. It was like
a film. Oh my God, yeah.
You really felt like you're playing movies then. It's just...
Absolutely. On my phone, I have the radio for the text message.
Oh, the blip blip.
On my,
Oh, that's brilliant.
I love this game.
Oh, that's brilliant. What you got next then, Bobby?
Then I got Medieval. So,
yeah.
I mean, people wouldn't probably have it on their list at all, but I remember I was at the computer game store with my little sister, my little brother, getting something, whatever. And then she saw this, and I was like, hey, it looks like a kid game. So I didn't want to get it because I already had Spyro and everything else. And I'm like, you know, it just looks interesting. Mm. Let me just get it. Whatever. So I bought it. I played it with my little sister, Katie. And we just played it like all the time together. Mm. And it was like stupid humor. And this guy was supposed to be like one of the like best knights in the Gallimere. And he runs out charging and he gets the first one to get killed. He gets an arrow in the eye. So he's dead. And it's like, oh my God. It's like if Tim Burton mind game. Like it's very similar to his style. Everything.
That's sort of Tim Burton cross Monty Python.
100%. That's a perfect way to describe this game. So just playing this game with her and the memories I had, and then it was re-released as a remake. So I played that game, hit the memories back. I even played it Resurrected because that was also free for the premium PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
So it's like if they made this again, I'd play it again. I just love it. Just the memories, I guess, of playing it with her and experiencing all the stupid things happening in this town. And sometimes I got a bit lost. I wasn't exactly sure what to do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people just skip over the cutscenes. You really can't in this game because then you don't know what you're supposed to go get. They don't exactly tell you. So it's like better to listen to the, you know, and it's also funny when you do things like the humor is great. So Medieval's up there for me, man.
Because I've done, obviously it's PS1 and I've done a Resurrected version of PSP, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I done the PS4
remake, yeah.
Yeah, the remake, which I understand is almost like for like. They've done a great job.
Really good job, man.
You know, good graphics, but also kept the essence of the original gaming, which is a great feature.
Yeah, that's why most younger generation, they played it and they're like, oh, the camera sucks. Well, the camera sucked in the original one too, bro. Yeah. That was the point.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it was about. They wanted to keep the essence of that.
And then
nostalgia.
Like, all the sword fighting, which is like just smash X and it's just wiggling the sword. You know what I mean? Like, it's just hilarious.
Brilliant. Yeah. I did enjoy that game, Medieval. That was a brilliant game. Next on my list, I've got the original Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible at this game. Still am terrible at this game. I'm terrible at tank controls. I played it for a few hours. Funny enough, couldn't get into it. It's probably why you're thinking, why is it on your list? And then back to when I shared a house with Bald Border. He was an absolute master of this game and number two. So I just loved sitting, watching him play for this game. And then that clicked, you know, how you play the game. You know, how you get around zombies. You haven't always got to shoot the zombies. You know, there's pathways. You have to double back. You have to explore, you know, and then it all starts clicking. And the same again. You just think, this is a very in-depth game.
It is for
that system. Yes, you go back now. Yes, younger generations will look at that and think, oh, my God, that looks awful. Yes, it does. But you've got to remember, we'd come from you know, 2D platforms to this, which was just incredible. You know, everyone loved the horror movie back then. Everyone loved the zombie movie back then. To be put into a zombie horror movie was brilliant. And also, you just got to love it for the early FMV cutscenes and that awful acting. It
is especially the intro. It is
brilliant. Especially
it's the best.
Barry as well is absolutely brilliant. you cannot beat that. But yeah, Resident Evil for me, just for same again, there was that Silent Hill, Resident Evil, you know, which is the best horror game, but also it just made a max out how good the games were really at that time. They were starting a whole new genre of gaming, which was survival horror genre, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely loved Resident Evil.
That's also on my list.
Oh, is
We got a lot of similar right there.
Great minds.
I remember going through the, first of all, it's about a glow up of video games. You went from 2D to this.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen again. It hasn't happened since. No. The graphics just get better.
Yeah.
But this was like a totally different way to play a video game.
Oh, it's like, crazy.
To play 2D your whole life, and all of a sudden, boom, it's like, what a change of direction.
Yeah.
So this was amazing to see. The going through the door, you never knew exactly what was going to be there. And sometimes when you were double backing, all right, the room is cleared. You go back, it's not cleared, and you get scared. Oh God, there's a thing here.
Yeah.
The way the camera was set, because it's placed camera, to make it scarier.
Mm.
I remember running through the hallway and the friggin' doldrum through the window, almost had a heart attack. I mean, there are so many things in this game that was so creepy about it.
Yeah.
Then you were worried about your ammo. So like, you're never comfortable in this game.
No, it was. And then so it's well like done.
Oh, I got so far. I got to get to a save room because I don't want to lose all the stuff I just did.
With your ink ribbons.
Where's the save room now? You can't remember where the save room is. And then you're being attacked by other enemies. I just thought, it was amazing. That first scene, too, when you see the zombie turn his head. That's a classic.
Oh, brilliant. And I think
it could
also
be Jill or Chris.
Yeah.
Classic. Like, you know, what?
I think with, for those who haven't played them, if you're younger and you're listening, Silent Hill was like a third person survival horror. You followed your character around. But what they done in Resident Evil, they took a different stance and actually put the cameras like they were filming a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you had a thing called tank control. So you press forward to go forward rather than just moving the direction you're in. So, but it was set more like a movie. So each room you went in, you're in a different angle, like a scene. And that was so, you know,
so
cleverly
cool,
done and different.
Really was.
Yeah, brilliant.
The games on my list, ironically, which I just didn't even know I did it, I have them all. Just looking at it now, I have all the games on my list, which is pretty funny. Yeah, but Resident Evil, first time playing that is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing experience.
What you got next then, Bobby?
Oh, I had Metal Gear, but I already did that. So we'll jump down to NHL 2000.
Mm, okay.
Now, I played, obviously, Blade of Steel growing up. And then you had NHL. It was just called NHL Hockey or Hockey 92, whatever it was called from EA. Played that, loved that. Then they made NHL PA because it wasn't licensed by the NHL, just the Players Association. So instead of having the Rangers, you had New York, but all the names of the players were there.
Ah, okay.
Right? Then NHL 94, they got so in NHL, the first game, it was just actual teams, but no real names.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't licensed by the Players Association. Then it was flipped. Now in NHL 94, they got their stuff together. I played this for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on end. Could not imagine how many hours I played on NHL. And then I went through all of the game, but they were kind of like 95. Every couple of years, they change. The graphics get a little better, but kind of the same thing. But then playing NHL 2000 for me for the first time was just mind-blowing. It was way faster.
Big leap, was it?
Super leap. I mean, I think 99 was similar, but it didn't hit me like 2000 did. The opening scene, I think it was garbage.
Oh wow! So they even licensed music, everything.
Yeah, licensed music. So I forgot the name of the song, but it's a popular song by the band, and it's like you see all the big hits and the slap shots in here. So when you're playing a game, you have your heavy hitters who are like or have bold letters, like they can hit hard, and then you have your finesse players, and you know you could change all your strategies. The same thing. It's very in depth. You can make it hard as easy as you want, but Karimo to me was amazing because me and my friend Adam played. My friend Alex played co-op on this. So, you know, you have to like, you could change your characters all you want. You know, you're not really set on it. You could, but it's too hard. So we would communicate like, all right, I'll try to say left side, you try to say right side. So it gets kind of crazy. And then when we had the puck together, it was like pass, slap shot. goal. Like, defense, we got started getting really good at the game. We got the Stanley Cup on the hardest difficulty, like back to back to back to back years as the Rangers. Mm-hmm. So it was like just amazing to play that game. Even in high school, I took this, when I used to work there, we had a summer and we had those TVs on the little wheels.
Yeah.
I played it with a few friends from there. Didn't lose the entire day. Thought I was a superhero. Like, I just love this game.
Oh,
this,
brilliant.
One of my favorite sports games probably of all time.
I think the last hockey game that, I mean, I'm going to show my age now, that last hockey game I played, I was really into, was EA Hockey on Mega Drive or Genesis, as you'd say, mm-hmm. in America. I loved that. I think, for some reason, I've got a funny feeling. I think I have NHL 2000.
I think it's amazing. Like, yeah. Obviously, play it now. It's like, wow, it's weird. The puck's so big. But, I mean, still, like I said, from playing 95, 96 up to see this, it's like, wow, this is definitely. Hockey, man.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it is just, it's not so much the genre of the game. It's the leap they make when they, you know, sometimes they hit the nail on the head and bring out a game that's so far forward compared to what everything else they've done.
It's true.
That's the one.
Even for me now, growing up, watching all the hockey I could watch as a Ranger fan, like all the classic legendary players. Mm. I mean, they're legendary players now, I guess, but nothing beat that era of hockey because there's no more tough guys anymore. There's no more enforcers anymore. You know, there's like legendary goal scorers who just score like last minute. Like the hockey is still hockey, but it's changed, you know?
That's probably like, the right game, right time.
Like, if you go back to, like you said, like all the winning 11s and everything, you had all your classic teams with the legendary players on them. Were the legendary that back then? Probably not, but now they are because it's like, you know, what they did for the teams and everything. Same thing here. Mm. And then people say the same thing probably now about their teams now. Like, oh, legendary players are playing this era. Yeah, they are, but not yet.
Yeah.
Wait another 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
So it always hits playing that game. I love it.
Brilliant. Next one on my list is Driver. I mean, even though it's got the notorious tutorial on this game.
Yeah, it's hard. People didn't have the tutorial.
Oh, that was brutal. I mean, I remember we were playing this, me and Bobalda were playing this, going, are we doing something wrong here? What is happening here? This is took us hours. Eventually, I think I had to go out and I came back and went, I've done it. I was like, yes, right. But I think the main thing was, I mean, yes, you go back now and you look at the world and you look at the buildings and bits and pieces and you sort of think, oof, that's harsh on the eyes. But you got to remember, technically you can class this as an open world game, although you were just driving, but it was an open map. We'd never witnessed an open map before.
No.
I'd never seen an open map. So you get in your car and you go, right, where have we got to go? You got to go over here. And you're like, no way. You can just drive there. They don't just like do a loading screen and then you drive there. And I was like, what? You know, I don't think we even finished. We got this one mission. We were around by some part of the city and we're just getting annihilated by police cars. And I don't think we were fairly well into the game. It was a tough game.
But it definitely was tough.
But because of it being that the open world style, the handling of the car is very good.
Yep.
I've had a go recently and it still feels pretty tight. You know, obviously, it's obviously not no iRacing or Gran Turismo, but it's for an arcade game in an open world. It still plays really well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just that, I think that was that novelty of the open world, that sort of crime ridden sort of era, and you being
like a noir style type.
And you being this sort of, you know, driver, you know, top driver. It was, yeah, really good. Same again, it was the first of a sort of generation that is, you know, inspired so many other games after that. I just absolutely loved this game. And that this got me into, I was always into driving games, but more like Toca Touring car racing or Formula One. This got me more into that arcade style. And then you suddenly thought, hang on, you can have an arcade style driving game with a story.
Yeah, no, mission. It was impressive during
it was really different. So yeah, that was my.
I remember some of the tutorial missions in here were just as hard as getting licenses in Gran Turismo.
Oh, easy. Oh, I mean, that was brutal.
You want me to do what now? I have to not only hit the mark at this miles per hour, I have to spin my car around to go through this area. Like, my God, bro.
I think you had a slalom, a 180, you had a 360, you had a burner. Mm-hmm. But also, don't forget, if you failed on that, you'd do them all again. You had to do them all in one run.
Yeah.
You couldn't just fail one. You had
all of them.
Yeah. young people today would have a go on that for 10 minutes and be like, nope.
Oh, I'm out. 100%. Yeah. Like, I'd rather just do it my own way and fail and learn than to do this tutorial again.
But the silly thing is, once you've done the tutorial and you played the game, you're actually so good at driving a car to start with because you've just been hammering a tutorial for 3 hours trying to get through it.
They definitely try to prepare you for this game, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, brilliant. That was my number six was Driver. So what you got next then, Bobby?
I got Parasite Eve 2.
Mm.
I only got picked Parasite. I mean, I went back and played Parasite Eve like right after 2. But I don't know how I bought Parasite Eve 2 when I got my PlayStation originally. And I didn't know there was a 1. I just thought it was like this, it wasn't ever released in America type thing. I don't know why I thought that. I didn't even speak about it. I just never seen the first game ever. So I bought the second game. You know, internet was kind of like new. So it wasn't like I Googled it. I didn't even care about it. I thought it was like similar to like the Goonies 2 on Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like the Goonies 2 was not the sequel to the movie, which I thought as a kid. No, the Goonies was never released in America. So we just got 2. Mm. Same thing here. I thought about it. But it was a different type of survival horror game because of the gameplay and how they did it. But the story was also unique. And instead of fighting zombies, it was like these like creatures who were like parasites trying to always get to you. Story's kind of in depth. Wasn't as scary as, you know, Resident Evil or Silent Hill at all. So just the unique experience of that. And I played it with my boy Alex, like over like, I don't know, 3 weekends in a row, just playing this game, trying to get through it. Because it was so interesting how they done it that when I went back to the first game, I was also surprised. And it's like same character, same girl. You see her evolve from the first game to the second game. There's this whole big story happening. But the music was pretty good. It was very much like a Japanese style game that was just popular here because you know, sometimes the Japanese games, they go wild. And it's like, oh my God, what's happening? It's so over the top. It's amazing. So sometimes it's not for everyone. Like, you know, you rather sometimes like Final Fantasy goes over the top. People love it. People don't. It's just the style. This is very similar. Like, okay, you're really going somewhere else than what the first game was. Total different direction. I just thought it was amazing.
Yeah,
the music was really good.
Was that Tank Controls as well? Am I thinking? What was that? Oh, am I thinking of Fear Effect? I might be thinking of Fear Effect.
Oh, Fear Effect, definitely Tank Controls. No, I don't remember this being Tank, man. I remember it being much easier to move around the character. Mm. Unless we just got so used to it, but I don't remember it being Tank.
I've always been quite intrigued by it because it was, you know, yet again, you know, it was a good era for survival horror, but someone else trying something different. So this went down a Parasite route, which was always sounded really interesting and different setting. And yeah, always looked a really good game. Same again, I think it's quite collectible now.
Yeah, because whatever the Parasite got into changed the creature to whatever it is. So, you know, you can go crazy now that's a Parasite, you know.
Mm.
So yeah. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a clever idea. Cause, I mean, how many did they make of those two?
Two, and then one came out. I never knew until doing like the reviews for my page. A third one came out, but I think it was just a PSP exclusive.
Oh, okay.
Parasite something, I forgot. But they finished it, but it was didn't get good reviews. This would be interesting to bring back now with this you know, era. Because it was interesting at the time. It was different from Resident Evil and Silent Hill, you know? So it'd be interesting to bring that back, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Right, we'll go on to my next one, which is number 5, and I've got Resident Evil 2, so higher up than Resident Evil. Basically, for the amount of gameplay they give you with this game, so you can play as either one. So basically, you've got, I can't remember the names right now, is it Chris and Jill in 2?
No, yeah, Claire. Claire and Leon.
That's it. Claire and Leon. I was getting muddled up. Claire and Leon. But obviously, without no spoilers, you get separated. You can play through either Leon's game or Claire's game. Once you've done both of those, you can then play through on opposite sides. So you can play Claire and Leon's side, Leon and Claire's side. But it's also the thing that always got me with this is when you played, say you played as Claire, so obviously they had different. So I think Leon could probably carry more things, but Claire had. There's something that differed between them. But because you were overlapping at times, when you played as Claire, you could leave stuff in a box that you could then go and collect when you played as Leon.
Yeah.
And I just thought then
amazing.
That blew my mind. It's like, oh no, I left that there. And you know, and the same again, Bald Border could speed run these. He would speed run them. And
that's incredible, bro.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. And he completed it. I hate to think how many times he's completed this game. And even up to actually 10 years ago this month, I had an accident, smashed on my shoulder, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he said to him, oh, we'll come around and do some gaming. It's a bit awkward for me to game and stuff. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, play for Resident Evils again. So we wired him back at every day for a couple of hours. I'd sit and watch him play because I couldn't really play. And he still knew where things were, knew where the herbs were. He knew where his ink ribbons were. You know, brilliant to watch. Absolute master of that game. But yeah, just for not trying to rinse and repeat, they took Resident Evil and they even made it bigger. They expanded it way bigger.
The city, the police, first of all, that police headquarters was amazing.
I just cranked I just cranked everything up to 10. I made it scarier.
Yeah.
They made the music better. They made the atmosphere better. They made the game bigger. They added more things in. Brilliant. That's why that's right in the middle of my list, number 5. And that's Resident Evil 2. What you got next then, Bobby?
Well, I had Silent Hill, but did that already. So my last game on my list was Tomb Raider. Mm. Because, I mean, I think everyone played Tomb Raider at some point in their life. This was the first game. My friend Alex had it. So when I bought my system, I bought it because I loved it. I have all three of them, the original PlayStation release. First time ever experiencing this in my life. Like, first of all, the way, obviously, Lara Croft, the character. And then you could lock the maid and the servant in the storage room.
Yeah. Whatever it is. they've added that Easter egg in the new one.
Yeah, just stupid thing you could do like that. But I mean, because I thought it was like kind of realistic. I didn't know that it was going to go to like the supernatural element. Mm. Kind of shocked me a little bit. But her whole backstory, nothing held your hand. So you had to just explore, try to find things yourself. I thought combat was pretty good. I thought how the character can like traverse the world was pretty good. Because sometimes you don't know, you're stuck in an area. Well, how am I going to get out of here? There's nothing really, you know, you try jumping on a ledge, climb across, jump across. Like the jumping, the climbing, the exploring, I thought was really well done. When you did have to do combat, the two pistol was just amazing. Never out of bullets. Mm-hmm. Go crazy. You know, I love Tomb Raider, man. I thought Tomb Raider was great. Even the new ones that they remade, I have all those. I thought they were good. Mm. But now I'm just like, because Uncharted was just so popular.
Yeah.
It's almost like everything Tomb Raider wanted to do, Uncharted kind of like did it.
Mm.
So like now where are you with Tomb Raider now? Like you're going to revamp it again. So it's kind of like this franchise now is kind of in a weird state. But playing it for the first time on the PlayStation was like the most unique experience of a game.
Mm.
All the games I played, nothing was like this.
No. When they done the remasters recently, I saw a few reviews from younger people who hadn't played the originals and saying, oh, these controls are awful. These controls, this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. The jumping's terrible. But you got to remember, when this game was made, you can't just follow another game. This has never been done before.
Never, yeah.
This is the first time it's been done. So hence, they do feel clunky now. But back in the day, this was game changer. This was, no one had ever done this exploration. You know, I know it's technically classed as linear, but it's open. You climb where you want, you go where you want, you know. And these are all times they were just testing the boundaries, really, of what could actually be done. Brilliant game, brilliant series. I know they faded off and had a few stinkers, but obviously they went on to doing the last three games they did, which I really enjoyed.
Me too.
Can't take nothing away from the original. It was another one that just started this whole new genre, really. And you wouldn't have such games, like you say, as Uncharted or the Indiana Jones coming out. I probably wouldn't even thought.
Yeah, it's true. Game.
You know, they started to realise people love those sort of exploring games, and you know, almost they're almost like a Christmas family movie, aren't they? The Indiana Jones feel.
It's true. Yeah.
Exploring, don't know what you're going to find, but yeah, brilliant, great choice. Number 4 next up for me is Gran Turismo 2. Mm. And I've put 2 here. You'll probably figure out number 1 will be higher up. But basically because of how good that series was when I first played it. I think this was the first game that I actually bought day and date on release.
Really?
Yeah. Other games I'd never thought of just buying. You just went to a game shop, saw it was on the shelves. I never thought, but this was one I was in magazines thinking, when's this out? When's this out? When's this out? I need this game. And it was just, it was another one which defined a genre of racing game, which spawned off a whole new, you know, there's plenty of games like your Tocker touring car races, your F1s from EA. There was plenty of these games which were more serious, but this mixed the two. So if you've never played a Gran Turismo game, you start off with 10,000 credits, you buy yourself a car, you'll have showrooms, you can buy new cars, you can buy secondhand cars, but then the rest is up to you.
Yeah.
You can save your money up, win these clubman races, Sunday Cups. You can then put big turbos on. You could do your suspension, but in a serious race environment. It's not like a Need for Speed. You're in a
serious.
It mixes the both, and just hours and hours of fun. And even though you have to grind in these games to get the money, it's never boring, you know, because you'll save up and then you think, oh, do I put brakes and suspension on? Or do I go and dump this massive turbo on this little car? And then it's completely undrivable and you have to try
to get your way.
But just great fun. Just took from the first one and just ran with it and loved it.
Was this the game where if you get enough, I think money, credits or license, whatever, you can unlock the F1 that's playable and everything?
I believe it is, yeah.
Because if this is it, then this ruined the game for me because... Yeah. I can drive almost anything in this. Like me and my friend, we played this for hours and hours. Hmm. And I got so good at it. I had all the cars. I was just turning on a dime, slowing down, drifting on the edges. Then I unlocked the F1 car. Like, oh, these are a little harder. F1 turns on a dime. F1 is like driving like a Grand Theft Auto car. You're just turning and diving and everything. Hmm. When we had to go, and then not this particular F1 wasn't available in every race mode. So when I went back to go drive the other cars again, terrible, bro.
Yeah.
I wish I never unlocked that F1.
Yeah.
Because I wish it just, but that's how in depth the game is and how serious they take the skills of the driver and your car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if your list is done now, is it?
Mm-hmm.
A bit, right. So I'll go next on my list. Number three was Tony Hawk's 2. Now, same again, me and Bill Border, Tony Hawk's 1, we played to death. Amazing soundtrack, skateboard game done right. Had that arcade element, but had the tricks that people knew in them. Had great goals, great stats, great way of upgrading your skateboarder, and you could follow through the levels. Brilliant. But I've put number 2 on for the reason they added manual. So you could then manual between tricks and keep the combos going to get your high scores, which is obviously the first one missed that. But, you know, I found a lot of good music and bands and singles through this game series. Yes, later games faded away. We all know Tony Hawk's 5 was a complete disaster. But they've done some spin-offs, which I enjoyed, underground bits and pieces. But I think Tony Hawk's 2 for me is that first game that really they got the manual in. They tested the water with 1 and then thought, right, yes, we can push on with this now. Let's see what we can do. Love the settings, love the levels, love the challenges. Every level you always thought, oh, I never can do that. I can't get all them. I can't get that. But you keep practicing. And it gives you, because there's so many things to do in each level, it gives you a reason to keep practice, keep getting there. And then you get that sense of reward when you collect all the skate symbols. Right, we've got to collect videotapes. Oh, that one's up there. And you'd have to sit and work it out for about an hour. How do we get up there? Skate up that bit, skate up that bit, you know. Brilliant. Absolutely loved that game. We were so lucky with the PS1 generation for the amount of different genres that were then come to fruition in this generation. It was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, so that was number 3, Tony Hawk's 2. Number 2.
No, never played it.
Sorry?
Never played it.
You never played it?
Nope. The last skateboard game I played was Skate or Die on Nintendo.
Really?
Isn't that crazy, right?
This is they managed to make a skateboarding game. The controls were fantastic. They made it easy. X, your ollie, triangle, your grind, and then you can add your tricks as you go. At first, you think, oh, that's hard to do that. But before you know it, you get into it and you're just doing these incredible combo tricks. Such good fun. And I mean, they brought that back with when they done the remakes. So when they done the remake, Tony Hawk's 1-2 on the PS4, I bought the collector's edition. So I've got the skate deck. I've got a
skateboard, right?
Yeah, I've got the skateboard and all the set and all that. And I just thought, I'm going to have to buy this because it's just, you know, this is a the game series faded away a lot and people forget about how good those first three or four games were, you know. Absolutely loved it. Right, next on the list, number two, is a game no one will be surprised with because I always talk about this, probably talk about this game far too much on the show, and that is I've put series on here, but it's Colony Wars. A Psygnosis game. I just think with Colony Wars, I've said this before, you've heard it before, I won't dwell on this too long. Very good controls. Decent story. First one gets better as you go along with, I might have got these in the wrong order. Community corrections if I'm wrong. Red Sun and Vengeance. I think it might be Vengeance, Red Sun. But anyway, the games only get better. All three are on the PS1. They're actually very affordable to buy now, really cheap. But it's great controls. Graphically, I've never seen a better space game on the PS1. As you know, recently I've been playing Wing Commander 4. That's brilliant with the FMV cutscenes. Very good. And I've always said, if these two combined, so you had the gameplay of Colony Wars on the Wing Commander 4 FMV, it'd be an amazing game because the Wing Commander 4 actual gameplay is a bit, you know. But this still looks brilliant for the time. Very easy on the eye today. I know it's space, you know. We've got a black screen with stars in it. Yeah. You know, it looks really good. Even the old 3D polygons all looks really good. It's a good story. It's tough. It's one of the earliest games I knew of multiple endings. Depending on how you play this, your ending is different. You know?
That's cool.
And it's not all endings are good. You might end up with a terrible ending. So you might have played all this game and gone, oh, well, that weren't worth it. But it's clever, you know, it's clever for the time.
Yeah.
And I'll say you can pick all three of these up really cheap. And I just think if you're into space games and never heard of this and you've got a PS1, jump on Colony Wars. So good. And finally, my number one. No surprise, this is my favourite PS1 game of all time, and that is the original Gran Turismo. I know we've gone over this with two, so I'll be brief, but at the time, my girlfriend at the time, I'd had an operation. She said, you know, you're off work for a few weeks. I'll buy you a present. She bought me a PlayStation 1 and packed in. I had Cool Borders and Gran Turismo. Now, I played Cool Borders to death on there. Got really good at that game, which I've managed to lose over the years. I'm terrible at it now, but played that to death. And then I just thought this Gran Turismo game, I'd never heard of it. I thought this game's probably just some third-party racing game. I never got into Ridge Racer. I didn't like Ridge Racer. I thought this is going to be. And then for some reason, one day I just put this game in and thought, oop, that startup's a bit impressive. Yeah, where's this come from? And then you get the feeder music and all the bands. And I was like, well, hold on. And that was it. Although I did get had on this game, and I'm sure it was this game. Same again, community corrections if I'm wrong. I couldn't 100%. I went 100%, but hundreds of hours in, 100%. But you can't actually 100% this game because they put originally, just before release, they had a drag race section in. They took the drag race section out but didn't amend the percentage.
Get out of here.
So I think you can get to about 96%. And I remember going through my home screen map thinking, what have I missed? I've got every car, I've done every – what have I missed? And that weren't until I read a magazine about 6 months later. It says, oh, yeah. Sony forgot to, or Polyphonic Digital forgot. Yeah. So you can't.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I'm sure it's number one. I'm sure I'm not wrong in that, but yeah. Yeah. So they'd actually edit that, the drag race, but they didn't amend the percentage.
That's on there. Dope.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I played that game, done everything on that game. I even the endurance races. Can you remember they've done endurance races? So in game time, you've done 24 hours, but if you played them normally, they were hours and hours long.
Yeah.
So I was doing 20 laps at a time and then having a break, got having a drink, recover. Yeah, it was like ridiculously long. It took me hours to do just a single race, but I was all on board with it. Nowadays, I'd be like, nah.
Really? Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, no. Yeah.
But then it was just incredible. Brilliant handling. Graphically, I'd never seen anything like it. the reflections on the cars, the shape.
It
wasn't a, you know, a polyed car, a square. They got the essence of the shape of the cars.
For a PS1 to make it look like they did is incredible what they did. Incredible.
Brilliant. And even, I know car sounds
are. Even when you showcase them and you spin the car around and you can look at the details of the car, they nailed it, man.
In a full race, I'd nip off the garage, I'd polish my car up, change my oil, then go.
That's it. Yeah, it was like, that's what.
Yeah, it was
it's
just
like
awesome.
The same thing. Yeah, no, it
was ran amazing. Really well, really smooth, you know, brilliant game. And we've said this with a few titles on here, but it is one of the games that set a generation off, you know.
It did.
You know, that.
I mean, you're playing what, RC Pro AM or something on Nintendo or whatever. And like I said, you go from 8 to 16-bit to this was just incredible.
It's just,
and that's the thing too, like, it's never going to happen again. Like,
no.
How good can the games actually be where you're like, wow, look at the jump? I mean, yes, like I said, it gets better looking. They could do more things in the game, but the jump from what we played as kids to this,
yeah,
will just, it's just, you had to just, I mean, it's kind of sad in a way, because like you if you're a newer gamer or you're young, you missed out on this like generation of gaming, which is, you know, it's kind of sad, but I'm happy I was a part of it, bro, because it was an amazing glow up for sure.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, you think even if you play PS3 nowadays, game depth and what you can do hasn't changed that much. It just looks a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we went from, like you say, we were playing Mario and Sonic 2D side scrollers, and then we got chucked into Silent Hill. What?
Yeah.
You're like, what?
How is Crash this Bandicoot? What?
Yeah. Just crazy, yeah. The 3D world was brilliant. Mm-hmm. But that is that's our takes on our favourite games and top tens and bits and pieces. We then, like I said at the start of the show, we chucked this out on our Unglorious chat. If you want to know what the Unglorious chat is, on our Discord, the Unglorious people in there are our subscribers. If you ever felt like subscribing, when you listen to our podcast on your provider of choice, you'll see on there a little bit that says support the show. You can click on there, and we have different tiers as we go up, you know, and it starts from as little as $3 a month. And part of those is you get on one of the tiers, you get drawn into the Unglorious chat, which is more of a private chat, but also means every now and then we'll ask questions, get your responses, read them out in the show. So it gives you that bit more involvement. But this week, obviously, we asked the people, what was your favourite PS game, PS1 game, and why? So I'll start with the first one. Did you want to take turns on these, Bobby?
Yeah, we'll take that. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. We'll start off with Digital Mungry, brilliant member of the show. If you're in the Discord, you'll know Digital Mungry for his challenges he does and challenge accepted and bits and pieces. But he said, Final Fantasy IX, it's so good, it makes me not regret trading in a Mega CD and four games to buy it. Still one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. I appreciate it. It's over four discs, but a PS1 game has no right being that beautiful. Now, I was never really into the Final Fantasy, so I never played it.
Yeah, me neither.
And I've seen a couple of people recommend this, because I think a lot of people always tend to go back to 7, don't they, for the PS1. But it'd be interesting to see where they took this game and graphically done. But yeah, that's Digital Mungry. So who we got up next then, Bobby?
It's our very own Bada Bingster. He has Metal Gear Slug X, which Metal Slug.
That's because we're talking about
it. Yeah, I played all of them. I think they're great. It's like a big boy Contra, kind of you know. It's very similar style to that. So he put Metal Slug X. He says that I discovered the game when I went to Italy and my cousin had a chipped PS1, so I got mine done. And I think I have most incarnations of the game on all the Sony systems.
Mm, yeah, I always know he's been a fan of the Metal Slug games. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of versions on console. I think I've got the original Xbox, PS2, I believe. But I tend to play them on my Bar Top Arcade. I've got them all on there.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I have them all emulated. I have the PS... I don't know if it's a new game for PS2 or it was a collection on PS2, whatever. I have that. And then they had a digital, yeah, right. And then they had a a collection I bought from the PlayStation Store.
Ah, okay.
I had a few of them in there, yeah.
Great games, and you always knew how good, I mean, graphically, they always look stunning, don't they, Metal Slug?
Especially how you kill enemies and how they die, the animations are really, they're really cool.
That's
man.
That real cartoon hand-drawn.
Yeah.
But you also...
it works.
Yeah, and also you know how good these games are and how hectic they are by the amount of slowdown. They made slowdown art when that chugs off. Well, a lot of games, you'd complain, but you actually sometimes relieved you got slowed down.
You could just duck down a bullet instead of jumping over a bullet.
That's a great choice. Brilliant games. Right, up next, we have our community manager and Discord manager, Boba. He's put, it's a really hard choice and a tough choice, but I'm going to pick Die Hard Trilogy. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of good memories playing Die Hard with cheats enabled, as well as Die Hard 2 with a mate, with the awesome Predator light gun. He's even included a picture of a young Boba there lying down, full stealth sniper mode on his bed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, apart from the outfit, he's full SAS there. He's now about to pop a cap somewhere.
There he is, yeah.
With that light gun and that awesome light gun. That's a great gun as well. But yeah, Die Hard Trilogy, I mean.
It's amazing.
Three different genres of games in there.
For the price of one.
For the price of one. Yeah, that's a great choice as well, because there's a lot of gameplay to be had in that. And I can't remember if I've ever played it with the gun. I'll have to get my, because I think I've got the same gun as that. I'll have to try and play that with the gun.
The gun, my boy Alex had it. I never had it. But you could, I don't think you have to play it with the gun if you don't have the gun. You could just move it around.
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit slower and harder. With
it. Harder. Yeah.
Whereas obviously gun, you're pointing where you're aiming, but it'd be good fun to have. So and play with that. But yeah, brilliant choice, Boba.
And up next we have my platinum, my other buddy that helped me out, the Gaming Graham. He got his own platinum for the Helldivers as well.
I'll stop you there. Do you know what I thought you were gonna say then? Hmm. I thought you were gonna say we'll go up next. Daddy's little soldier.
I mean, he really is now. We're all Daddy's little soldiers now. He put WWF SmackDown 2. It wasn't the first wrestling game I played. I think that was Warzone, but it's one of the best on PS1 and one of my favorite wrestling games of all time. My friend and I went back to it a couple years ago and spent a good amount of time playing through season mode and discussing what was going on in each other's games, good times. So yeah, the Gaming Graham is a huge wrestling fan. So I had SmackDown 2 as well. I thought they were great. Yeah, I was into it back then. So
yeah, I was never really into wrestling. Friends did, and I'd occasionally sort of have a game with them, but I was terrible at them. So I never really knew what were the good games, what were the bad games. But I know a few people have said the SmackDown games were quite a you know, good time for wrestling games in all.
And it's like the same. It's like the same story. Like we had. On Nintendo, you had wrestling with the Amazon and whatever else it was called. Mm-hmm. Then you had Royal Rumble, 2D style, and then boom, you're in 3D territory. It's just amazing.
Yeah, brilliant. Next up is Roast Space Monk. And he has said, Metal Gear Solid. Oh, one of our choices. The first game I ever played that felt like an actual movie. What we said as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never played a game with cutscenes and dialogue of that scale. One of my favorite game series of all time. Yeah. Pretty much what we said in the show, really. It was that James Bond-esque, more sabotage and stealth-like game that just no one had ever really played before. You know, it really took it to a new genre, to a new level, really. And
to get like the best scores, the overall, you weren't supposed to kill nobody. Unless you had to.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just like take them out, or if not even take them out, just not be seen.
Yeah.
So it's like there's always a, you know, you could play it like how you want it, and then you want to try to get a better score at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Don't get caught.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's amazing.
Oh, it's brilliant. Very, very clever for his time and way ahead of his time.
Up next, we got your boy, Bald Border. He says Resident Evil 2, an unbelievable good sequel to another favorite of mine. I love the horror genre. We're in the same boat, which the very special Resident Evil 1 was my introduction to. I played both over and over, back to back in the day, never got tired of them. The addition of the second disc and playing the game from each other, from each character's perspective at the time, was mind-blowing for me. Can I add an honorable mention for Stealth Assassins, please? Another game I couldn't put down. Yes, sir. You got it.
Yeah, he likes his stealthy stuff. I think that's, when you think of the PS1, when I was trying to write this list in the week when we were talking, I was just thinking, I could put 50 games down here.
Oh, easily.
I could put 50 games. I need to just get down to why these games are special and then go from there, and that's what I've done. But
sometimes a game could be just like trash. Like, I have so many games on Nintendo that are just horrible, but it's like the memories of the games that I had with playing them is what like throws it up in the gamer score for me.
Yeah.
Because, you think about, I'm going to just review the game, right? But what was your personal experience with the game takes it to another level. Yeah. So that's why everyone's list is unique, because it's like, what were you at the time as a gamer playing and memories of, that's why I love lists.
Yeah.
I think they're great.
So many good stories that, you could talk about the same game and have a completely different story as to why that game is good. And
yeah,
brilliant. Next up, we've got Tingle Tuner. Never owned a PlayStation. I was fully N64. But the game I envied the most was definitely Metal Gear Solid. The closest we got on the N64 was Mission Impossible, a solid 6 out of 10 game.
Yeah, I never played Mission Impossible on N64.
No.
Well, I didn't have an N64. My friend Adam did. And I remember mostly playing, Mario Galaxy? Not Mario. Where's Mario Galaxy, right?
No, Mario 64.
64, right. And then we did, obviously, GoldenEye. All the wrestling games, the WCW games. That's what I remember on the N64.
Yeah, I didn't, at the time, I didn't know anyone that had an N64. That wasn't till I had a go on the odd one, popping into Electronics Boutique or somewhere like that in the UK. They'd have a kiosk set up and you'd have a go on a few of the games, which I really liked. I remember being disappointed with having a go in a shop on Tony Hawk's because they could only play a certain amount of songs because of the amount of cartridge space. So you'd have, I don't know, you might have to correct me on this, I can't remember if that was only a snippet of the song would play on a loop or whether they only had a couple of songs that played because of the storage space on a cartridge. I remember playing that, but obviously when I started collecting 20 years ago, whatever, I picked an N64 up and sort of aimed at the games that you couldn't get on anything else.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, I've never played a Mission Impossible, but it definitely sounds one worth picking out. Who we got next then, Bobby?
I got a fellow Ginger, Ginge. He put Crash Bandicoot 1, first game I ever played and fell in love with. I fell in love with every aspect of the game. The visuals were gorgeous. The music was epic. And most importantly, it was fun. And that's true. As long as it's fun for you, bro, then that's it.
Yeah, very true. And then finally, we've got Marathon Gaming, Young Scotty. If you haven't checked this channel out, get on YouTube, Marathon Gaming, brilliant channel. He's put Twisted Metal 2 World Tour. But he's also added on for nostalgia for the PS1. It's got to be Laura locking the butler in the fridge. Which, yeah.
I mean, the fact that they put that in there, it's just hilarious, bro.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Especially because they knew people would do it, so they added a bit of dialogue in. And then you open
it's like a real gamer was like, you know what? I would try to do that. Let's put it in the game.
And then you open it back up, and he's blue. Absolutely.
Oh my god.
Absolutely brilliant. But thanks to everyone for sending in your memories and your PS1 games. It's great to hear what people's favourites were. And if the show's successful and you like this show, we've been thinking of doing a few more, haven't we, Bobby? Maybe a PS2.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
PS3, maybe Nintendo One.
I got a list for everything, so you let me know, man. I'm down.
Yeah, so if you like this, let us know in the Discord. If you're not in the Discord, jump across. Look us up. I think there's a link on our description on our shows.
Mm-hmm.
So have a jump in, come say hi. Great family on there. Anything from gaming to our social lives to bits and pieces, there's a bit for everyone on there. Great little community. And also, it leads on to, we have a partner which I've mentioned, Digital Monkery does, which is called Challenge Accepted, for which he does a monthly game. And that's normally a high score challenge, or I think we've done one with Mario where you can do laps. And this month, it was the, what was it on? It was Mario. What was it, Bobby? It was Mario. You had to do, it was on Mario Party, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like a meter distance run or something.
Yes. Let me just find.
I think Ginge is winning that again.
Yeah, I think Ginge has actually got the
he's very close to apparently the world record again.
Really, is he?
I mean, I think the record was like 74 meters or something like that. This guy got 70.
Yeah, but only halfway through the month as well, which is mental.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find a description on there. Sorry. But yeah, it's on Mario. I think it's on a few of the Mario Party games, I believe. I think it's whether it's a sprint.
Oh, so apparently he already won.
Oh, he's already there, is he?
He got the max distance, which is 70 meters.
No way.
2 weeks left, he killed it. This is a guy who says, never played this, never played that, never played this, never played that, and wins all the freaking challenges.
Oh, I mean, he's an absolute animal at games, isn't he? I mean, I think I was looking yesterday, he's got 570
platinums. Some platinums, yeah.
Oh, that is absolute. I mean, he knows how to learn a game quick, put it that way. I mean, he's not. Sure. He's normally smashed the top score before I've even had a go.
Yep.
Here we go. Mario Party. Mario Party, you have to... your furthest distance on a Mecha Marathon minigame. It's included on Mario Party Superstars, Mario Party Top 100 3DS, Mario Party 2 N64. So everyone's been trying that. Digital Monkey and Mrs. Digital Monkey even make one-off stickers for the winner, which these are. Stunning stickers,
yeah.
Gaming, you know, on point theme, and they look absolutely stunning. And that's just another little bit which is added on our Discord, which is great fun to join in. I'll do the leaderboard. It's only the week two leaderboard, but I think I don't know if Ginge will be beaten. But we've got Ginge on top spot with 70 meters, which is that is right the maximum, isn't it, Bobby? I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Tingle Tuner's got 62.55. Digital Monkey's got 52.65. Scotty Marathon Gaming's got 49.95. Mrs. Digital Monkey has got 49 dead. Mikey Reston's got 45.45. And Blonde Logic Gaming's got 27.52. So just to be interesting for the rest of the month, for someone to see if they can actually get 70 and match Ginge. But yeah, well done, Ginge. You've done it again then. Absolutely brilliant. And like I say, if you want to take part in that, if you want to like join our own Glorious or anything like that, jump on the Discord. And I think what we'll do now, we can do our subscribers list to say yep. Thanks to all those guys. So we'll start off with Trestles, New York.
Then we got Bada Bingster.
Then we've got Tingle Tuna.
Then we got Digital Monkery.
Which we need to apologise for because we forgot him last week. I don't know how we'd done that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we missed him off last week.
You know why we're joking around too much?
Well, no, I think what we should do is blame George because he's not here.
That's true, yeah. It's just definitely George's fault, and we'll never make that mistake again.
You know what George is like? He interrupts. You know, yep. He messes us up. He changes orders. He does.
You know.
So, yeah, sorry, Digital Monkey, but if you want to put a complaint in, DM George because that was him.
Yeah, my bad, bro.
Yeah. So next we've got Rose Space Monk.
The Gaming Graham.
Then we've got the Resident Evil Legend Bald Border. And happy birthday to Taylor again. Hope you have a great day, darling.
Then we have our Discord president, Boba.
Oh, the legend is Boba.
Mm-hmm.
I can only picture him now in sniper position on his bed with his 90s duvet set.
That's how he takes care of the Discord. Same position.
Yeah, he weren't just standing up like in an arcade. He was fully laying down, double-handed pistol action.
Snipe mode ready.
Yes. Then we've got Marathon Gaming.
Then we have Seal Master Elliot.
Then we have Ginge.
Emma Sharp.
Then we've got Harvey Retro.
Nowhere near Berlin.
Then we've got Mumsy.
Then we have the unofficial RGT fan club.
Oh, no, that's embarrassing. Then we've got Pete Brocklehurst.
Then my neighbor upstairs, Billy Marmite.
Then we've got new last week, which was Simon Pryke.
And then new this week, Fat Zangief.
Yes. So thanks to all those guys. But always remember, show's always free. But if you do subscribe and add this little benefit subscribing, that really helps the show out. I won't go on and try and plug it to you, but thanks very much to everyone that contributes. And also thanks for contributing to this week's show as well with your comments and all your kind words. So fantastic. Well, we're winding up a bit now, Bobby. So let's probably jump on to what are you hoping to play this week? I would imagine I probably know what that is, but.
Yeah, definitely Helldivers 2. If anyone on the crew's out there, I'll link up. Destroy All Humans 2, want to knock that out.
Well, me and Paul Gordon have been saying about getting Helldivers 2. So we might.
I'm telling you, if you guys play together, you guys would have a great time.
Yeah, we might have to team up with you and get us through.
Listen, I can knock you out with the trophies, no problem. Yeah. Well, you're professional at this point now.
We might have to get a team going there.
No, it'll be great. It'll be really fun. Destroy Humans 2, knock that out, and then I don't know, I'll pick one of the backlogs. I'll just try to see what I could do. What about you?
What I jump back on Expeditions. The problem I couldn't hardly play this week is because of, like I said, I said I was busy at the start of the show, but each mission now is taking me 2 or 3 hours.
So, oh wow.
Yeah, they're tough and they're long. They're brilliant fun, but I need to have an afternoon where I can sit down, bag of cashews.
Uninterrupted.
Because if you plan your route as well, so if you can save it halfway through, but if I come back onto it, I think, hang on, what am I doing there? Where have I got? You forget.
Oh, yeah, no, it's annoying. Yeah.
I need to finish, you know, it's more me rather than the game, but I need to finish it. So I'll play some more of that this week. Some more EAFC, I think, on my Switch. Definitely some more BioShock. Maybe a bit more Mystic Pillars. But yeah, mainly when I aren't doing bits and odd jobs this week, it's going to be in the game shed, I think. Playing random games. I think me and Ball Border have got a night lined up this week. So I think that might be a takeaway, a couple of beverages and a bit of a games night. We were saying we might try and have a light gun night.
So I'm gonna
Yeah, I've got my light guns in a box, set them up so we can play some House of the Dead on the Dreamcast and bits and pieces and have a bit of a light gun night.
That'll be dope.
Yeah. So I think we'll be doing that. But I think that's pretty much all I'll be playing this week. So, yeah, I think we're about there then, aren't we, Bobby?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, if anybody didn't see Fallout.
Oh, yes, you said about this.
I killed I binged it. I binged the hell out of it. I thought it was really well done. It's probably one of the best game to TV shows.
Yeah, you were saying.
I think it's better than Last of Us, in my opinion.
Well, I was talking to Mrs. RGT about this last night when we were having our evening meal. And, I said, oh, Bobby's saying Fallout's really good. And she was like, okay. And I said, yeah, he said it's better than Last of Us. She's like,
yeah.
What? I was like, yeah, apparently.
I really thought, I explained to you, my wife doesn't understand Fallout. So I kind of just gave her like a little bit of the history just so she has somewhat of an idea. They explain that to you later on in the episodes. So if you don't really know about Fallout, it's there for you. So if you don't know about it, it's a really well-made TV show. If you're a fan of the franchise, they hit everything. They have so many Easter eggs. They get everything right. Like, you know, it's a colorful world, but it's also dark. There's humor, there's sadness, there's violence. It's all in there. And for an Amazon Prime TV show, I was blown away by this.
I saw a few clips on YouTube now coming out of the premiere of it, and IGN and people like giving it all 9s out of 10.
Yeah. So and good story. I always say his name wrong. I think it's Walter Giggins, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. He was in The Shield. And he was also in Justified. And I like this guy. I think he's great. I think he's really good. He nails his character. The other two characters, I don't really know them. I never seen them in anything. But they also just did a really good job of it. They got the vault right. They got the story right. I'm like, wow, this is, if you have an interest in it or something new to watch, this is the show to go.
Yeah. Also, I suppose that helps them as a company as well, because if people love it that much, it might push them forward in another decent.
Yeah, and if you're on PS Premium, all the Fallout games are free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure people downloaded that after watching this. I when I turned on my PlayStation, it had like, you know, like your news, and it had the free ghoul outfit for Fallout 74. You get a free download because, you know, it's pushing it now. So it's like, good. It's good for the franchise, you know?
I binge watched that Free Body Problem.
Oh, how was that? I heard it was interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It starts off, it's one of those, it starts off a bit complicated, where you're thinking, what is going on? But it explains it by like the fourth episode, and then the rest of it is how they're going to deal with it. Mm. But it literally, it ends, and you think there's got to be a second season because nothing is resolved here. And you're just like, there's surely got to be a second season. Don't leave that halfway through.
But
I know a few people I work with like, oh, God, no, sci-fi, bit rubbish, not into my... But me, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
It's on my list. So I'll probably check it out now because we have nothing else to watch. I mean, I expected to watch a couple episodes over like time.
Yeah.
We watched the first three.
Yeah.
Went to bed. And then the next day we had like really no plans. I'm like, you know what? It's only five episodes left.
Yeah.
We just murdered it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Right. Well, on that note then, just leaves me one more thing to say, which is don't worry if you're given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. Cheers, Bobby.
Peace.